5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Well, on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out, a bad seat, a broken day, a bad humble with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, out of bad day, bad law, bad dude, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palacio, right across the river from the woods where my granny loves a little purple kush kush before she goes to bed in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People trust in plastic bags, the red to drive eggs and kind of fast and shake it up. Should do but all my fun and come around, fast party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this ties a tatter. My brain splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake out. Ooh, oh, woo, woo. I think I might have caught something from Keith. Should do bet. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell, along with your boy Mafia tonight. And I'm watching the Avs and Kings on TV right now. So I got a little hockey going. You can't beat that. Because I actually just watched the Knicks puke against the Pelicans. So I wanted to cleanse myself after watching the Knickerbockers just absolutely suck monkey onions tonight. I mean, to tell you, they are awful. I have no idea what, seriously. You can't even explain it to me, what's happened to this team. They were the number 4 seed last year in the East. They were, you know, I mean, all year they were great. They played great every night, even when they lost. And now you watch them, and they're like, they're one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, they are absolutely a joke. They're abysmal. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was watching tonight. It made me sick to my stomach. They're so bad. They were booing at the Garden, Randall, all night. They were booing him because he was so pathetic. Randall was 1 of 9 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3, and had 4 points in the game. And he is their all-star. He made the all-star team. He was, you know, literally one of the best players in the NBA last year. And now, I mean, what in the hell was that? 1 of 9 from the floor, 0 of 2 from downtown, 4 points. And literally, he hit 1 jumper and 2 free throws. And he missed free throws in that game. They were booing him. He got teched up right before the half when he got a tip back in. That was his basket, a tip in on a miss. And then when he went off the floor, he gave the ref the business. And the ref teed his ass up. I mean, to tell you, he is like, something's wrong with him. I mean, he's falling off the face of the earth. His game is absolute trash. He can't do anything right. I mean, the guy can't hit a shot. He's flat out awful. And Mafia, didn't they give him a big contract, big money? They gave him all the money he wanted to say. Said he wanted to play in New York the rest of his career. He got the money and then he quit playing. The guy literally does not play hard at all. He sucks. You can't explain it to me, Mafia. I got a fever from watching the game. Then again, I've had a fever all day.
Yeah, you and I were talking about this the other night. That, you know, he seemed like last year he was hungry to prove himself. He wanted to make everybody, you know, eat their words, that he couldn't be the focal point of this offense. He couldn't be the main guy on the team, that he was too selfish to play Tom Thibodeau ball. And then after he proved that last year, now it seems like, okay, I did that. Don't need to do anything else. I'm cool just being here now, because he just doesn't, he seems, you know, he doesn't have the same work ethic. He seems lazy. He, you know, doesn't play team ball anymore. He just jacks up crappy shots.
I mean, they lost to the Pelicans. I mean, we welcome our radio affiliates to Frawl on the Bench on a Thursday night. Sirius XM, Mightier 1090, ESPN San Diego. Of course, Sports Map Radio in Houston, Sports Byline USA in San Francisco, our national networks. So they lost to the Pelicans. I mean, the absolute, are they not the worst team in the league? I mean, the Pelicans are 17-28. Not that the Knicks are any better, but they're two games under 500. And I got to tell you, they are stinking it up. They lost to the Pelicans. They lost to the Timberwolves. They lost to the Hornets. I mean, it goes on and on. Don't get me started. I'll be here all day giving, you know, rattling off losses. I can barely watch them. They're so bad now, Mafia. Like, when I watch their games, my eyes are rolling in the back of my head. Like, I'm literally, you know, falling asleep watching them. I sit down. I want to watch the game. I nestle up to the TV. I got it all going. I got popcorn going. Got a little ginger ale going. I'm styling. And then I watch them just absolutely not hit a shot for the entire first half. They had 54 points with 3 minutes left in the third. 54 points. They scored 91. Don't be fooled. They suck. I mean, they are pathetic. Come on, Thibodeau. Coach, do something. Your team absolutely is awful. It's Frawl on the Bench.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever gotten rabies from trying to get a fresh rabbit's foot, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
All right, Farrell on the Bench with Mafia. I was actually, Mafia loves, I mean, you know, he told me the other day, he just said, you know, I got to tell you, I said, what's the matter, Mafia? He goes, yeah, you know, I just can't get enough of your stories about all your health problems. He's like, you know, could you just like tell the story again of what happened to you, like with this infection again, so that I could just enjoy it again? Because, I mean, you talk so much about your health problems that it's become an addiction for me. Like, tell him, Mafia, you're addicted to me telling the stories of my failing health.
Just can't escape it. It just draws me in.
It just, see that? It sucks him right in. Like, he has no choice. It's just inevitable. Like, every day there's something. So what happened was, I mean, I just have to tell this story because it was so unbelievable. And my boss made me, he literally made me a promise that I wouldn't do this on television today, that I wouldn't talk about my Satchel Paige or my onions. I got him to agree to let me talk about my Satchel Paige and onions due to him not wanting me to say what they really are. You know, like the real term for my, Satchel Paige and my onions, you know, my grapefruits, because that's how big they were. They were grapefruits. They weren't grapes. They were grapefruits. So what happened was, is that I got an infection, a nasty infection in my Satchel Paige, which cut off my onions and my onion cord. I don't know if you knew this or not, but you actually have a cord that runs through your Satchel Paige and basically carries your onions in your Satchel Paige. And so what happened was, is that they can actually strangle you. It can like get wrapped up in there and coil up and cut off blood flow to your onions. And so I got this infection, and the whole time it happened, it's been kind of going on for, a couple weeks, because I had massive pain when I was playing basketball. I was like, this is unbelievable, but every time I play basketball, my groin feels like I tore it, right? Like I could feel this massive pain shooting into my groin. And I'm like, so I'm playing in this championship game a couple weeks ago, and I felt I tore my groin. And I'm like, oh my God, I go, it's either that or I got a hernia. And I've had 6 hernia surgeries, so I figured it had to be a hernia, because I've really never, knock on wood, torn my groin. So, maybe I pulled it a couple times, but I've never torn it, right? So I thought it had to be a hernia. No big deal. I've had 6 of them. I've had 6 surgeries on hernias through the years. And I just thought it was just another hernia. No big deal. I'll just deal with it. So I'm playing again, and I played a couple times since we lost in the title game. And every time I play it, it came back. And so I shut it down for a week. I didn't go to the gym. I didn't go to play basketball. I didn't lift or anything. I just stayed away. I figured I gotta chill out, because this thing's out of control. I gotta get it to, calm down or cool down or fold back under, because it's like a tear. It's like a rip in your body, and a bulge and all the rest. It usually is a warning sign if you got like a big bulge or something sticking out of your belly or your groin or whatever. So anyway, I never had that. I just had massive pain. Every time I played basketball, my onions hurt bad. I mean, like really bad. Like I'd go home, all of a sudden, a couple hours later, it would come on and it would just be overwhelming. Like I'd be like, I can't even walk. It hurts so bad. My onions were so swollen, and my grapefruit size, that's how big they were. I could pull my pants down, and my Satchel Paige had 2 giant grapefruits in it, and they were swollen that bad. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, what the hell is happening here? I can look at the size of my Satchel Paige, and 34C's like, that ain't right. That's just not right. There's got to be something wrong. I said, I don't know. It's got to be a hernia. And she's like, you got to call the surgeon, the guy that does all my surgeries. And so I was like, yeah, I'll call him. Don't worry about it. She's like, no, you really got to call him. I mean, you got a serious problem here. Look at you. And I'm like, yeah, I'll deal with it. Don't worry about it. So then I'd sit around complaining. So Saturday to play ball. Sunday, I woke up and I had it again. And it was like out of control. And I'm like, what the Pharrell is happening to me? This is crazy. I've never had one this bad, a hernia. So the next thing I know, it's like Monday or Sunday. I couldn't even move. I literally laid on the sofa all day, never moved. I couldn't even go to the bathroom. I could not go number one. And I couldn't go number two either. So I'm like, wow, something's wrong with me. And then Monday came around, and all I cared about was doing the show, doing the TV and radio shows. So Monday at 4 o'clock, I sit down to do the show, and I am in agony. I am literally sweating bullets right on the set. Like Mafia thought I was smoking crack or something, because I was soaking wet. Like I jumped in a lake, and I'm like, no, man, I got a hernia or something, and it's just killing me. And I can't even tell you how bad it is. They're all like, oh, God, here we go with this guy and his hernias. And I'm like, no, really, it's there's something wrong with me. It's a real problem. And, you know, Mavi's like, you know, maybe you should get that checked out. And I'm like, yeah, I will. And then Monday night I did the radio show. I was in agony. Tuesday rolls around. Same thing. Size of grapefruits. My whole thing's out of control. I go to do the TV show. Same thing. Nightmare. I can barely get through it. I do 2 hours of TV. I'm literally crying on the set. And then I did the radio show that night. Same thing. Agony. Just can't even sit. I'm literally standing in the studio doing the show. I can't sit. I just can't put pressure on my my groin and my, I can't sit down. I mean, my onions were the size of grapefruit, and I couldn't walk. I couldn't sit. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go to the bathroom. And this is like, you know, 3 days of it. So on Wednesday, I end up literally finally at around 2 o'clock, I got my surgeon. I finally broke down and I gave up. I was like, all right, she's giving me pressure, 34C, giving me the business, giving me heat, just high heat. And I'm like, all right, I'll call him. So I got on the phone. I called him. Of course, he answered. He's operated on me 6 times. And I said, I got a problem. He's like, go to the hospital right now. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go again with this shack. And so I got in the car. She had to drive me. I couldn't drive. I couldn't sit. Couldn't do anything. I laid in the seat, the passenger seat, all the way down like a bed. I got to the hospital. And sure enough, they give me a CAT scan and an ultrasound. And I mean to tell you, when they gave me this ultrasound, this chick with the jelly and the ultrasound machine, and she put that gun on my package, I mean to tell you, and my onions, I literally almost jumped through the roof of the hospital and went straight to Mars. That's how bad it hurt. I mean, she touched that thing on my onions, and I literally exploded in this hospital bed. I was like screaming in pain. I was like, this has got to stop. I can't take this anymore. And finally, they shot me up with morphine, and that was the end of it. I didn't feel anything. And then they rolled me into the CAT scan machine. I'll tell you what happened after that on the bench. Through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't want to make that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
Sounded like the description of the Knicks, the open of that segment. Lifeless. They are absolutely lifeless. Rick Haro's our sports business and legal insider from Harvard on Sports Grid, on Sports Grid TV, on Sports Grid Radio, on Coast to Coast, and on For All on a Bench. Mr. Haro, good evening.
Knicks are lifeless, but they're worth about $5.2 billion, according to Forbes. I still don't get it. Nor do I get the Lakers' value at 27 and 28. Maybe they're 28 and 27. I don't know. They'll limp into the playoff, and that'll be it.
The Lakers are average. They're a 500 team. The Knicks are below 500, and they are flat-out awful. And that's from number 4 seed last year in the playoffs in the East to this. It is an abysmal turn for the worst. I just wanted to finish this story with you, Rick. I don't know if you knew what happened to me, but I was in the hospital yesterday, and so it ends up. I just want to finish this, and you can just enjoy this calamity.
I will. No, I heard, but I want to hear more. obviously.
So what happened is I end up in the hospital, and they did the ultrasound on my satchel page and my onions. And when the chick did it with the jelly and the gun on my package area, I literally almost flew through the roof. I mean, they were the size of grapefruit. She's like, "Oh my God!" And like, I'm like, "Duh." Like, that's why I'm here.
She said, "Oh my God, to you.
Look, isn't that nice?"
I go, "Yeah."
Okay, so I'm looking at this lady, and I'm like, "Obviously, it's a problem." And she's like, "Oh my God!" And then when she touched it with the thing, I was like, through the roof. And then finally, they shot me up with morphine, and I then they rolled me into a CAT scan, and they had to like carry me off at a table onto the CAT scan table because I literally couldn't move. I mean, I was crippled. I was absolutely paralyzed with pain. And even though when they put me on morphine, I couldn't feel anything, but I couldn't like walk. And so they put me in this machine. And when it was done, an hour later, they came back in and they told me that I had, epididymitis or something is what it's called. And all I know, I said, "What the hell is that?" And the doctor said, "Well, put it this way. If you were under 35, you would have gonorrhea and chlamydia." And I said, "What?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "But you're 56. So what you have is E. coli in your satchel page." And I was like,
"Oh no.
You mean like,
how did it get
there?" I go, "You mean like E. coli?" And she's like, "Yeah, like, yeah, you know, vomiting and rhea in your satchel page." And I was like, "Well, how the F did I get that?" And she and I said, "I don't sleep around. I don't do any of that." I go, "I've never done anything like that in my life." And she's like, "It could be any number of reasons. It could be like 12 reasons." And so I'm like sitting there looking at her like, "I don't have time for that. I don't have time to hear 12 reasons why I have this disease." And so the next thing you know, they made me lay there for 4 or 5 hours. And they started feeding me intravenously all these drugs. And then by the time I left late at night or whatever, I went home and I they had me all drugged up. And so when I woke up in the morning, I slept like 8 hours and I woke up and it was gone. Like it was back to normal. Wow. I didn't have the swelling. I didn't have the major balloons down there. I just had no pain, which is the first time in 4 days that I had no pain. So I tried to drag this out. I just thought it was a hernia, Rick. And I've had 6 hernia surgeries, so I thought it was just another hernia, and it was no big deal. But meanwhile, I had like this, you know, infection, and it was horrible. And my surgeons said it is the worst possible infection that you can have in your body. And I was like, "How did I get this?" And he's like, "We'd be here all day if I tried to figure it out." He said, "You got it. It is what it is." He goes, "I'm going to blow it out. It'll be gone nuclear in 48 hours. So I started taking these drugs. There's side effects for sure. Like I felt like the whole time since I got out of the hospital, I feel like I have the flu. I've been, cold, sweating, tired, sleeping. I can't stay awake, that kind of thing. But I got through it. Like I'm sitting here right now doing the show and I'm pretty much soaking wet. It's the weirdest thing. But I don't have any onion problem. I don't have any satchel page problem. I don't have any pain at all. And I couldn't go number one. I couldn't go number two for 4 days, 5 days, whatever it was. And it was the worst. I couldn't go to the bathroom. And I had to go to the bathroom, but I couldn't go to the bathroom. And it was just shut off. And it shut down my entire groin, all my sperm, whatever they have, like there's sperm ducts in your groin. Everything. He said everything was like cement. It was seized. And they did, you know, the CAT scan showed that my entire area was infested with this infection, and I was completely shut down like cement. And he said, "It's the worst thing ever." He said, "You're just gonna have to deal with it and get through it." And so I have, but it was the worst thing ever. Like I didn't want to miss the show Monday and Tuesday. I did the show. Mavia, tell Rick what my face was like on the TV set as I was trying to do a show and not let people understand what was happening to me.
He was breaking out in sweats when it's 30 degrees outside. He was, constantly wiping himself off like he was Shaq at the free throw line, rocking back and forth in breaks. Half the show, he was like leaning back on his chair, like, he looked like he wasn't even interested just because he was in so much pain. He had to shift his weight. It was a mess.
Well, I was on.
It was awful,
Tuesday,
Rick.
I do remember you taking a break before we started. And I tried to talk to you, and I just figured you were just being yourself. But I didn't realize that you were under an amazing pain. And, man, save those onions, right? I mean, thank
well,
God
you know, I
doctor
didn't,
that knew
Rick,
how to save the onions.
I remember doing the show with you, and I was miserable. And usually I talk to you. I say hi.
Yeah.
We laugh and joke, but I didn't say a word to you. I just was like, I had this look on my face like I was the last place in the world I wanted to be was on TV because I just had a nasty disposition because I was in agony. I was literally in agony. And the problem I have, I'll just be honest with you.
Do the boys upstairs know what sacrifices you made of your body to be a trooper on the show this week?
They didn't know that I had a problem Monday and Tuesday. I didn't tell anyone, but my producers knew, and the guys that run it in Kansas City knew that I had a major problem. And then my problem is I'm such a loser because I hate hospitals, right? So I've had 12 surgeries. I'm constantly, every time I go to a hospital, I end up in a cutting room and I end up having surgery. I've had every surgery known to man. I'm sick and tired of it. I hate it. I hate doctors. I hate hospitals. I hate ERs. I hate being there and they do, you just sit there for 5-6 hours. It's the worst. So I refuse, you know, basically to go, and I'll only go if I'm dying. And literally I fought this pain and my wife's like, you're not getting better. Something's wrong with you. You've got to go to the hospital. And I finally broke down and went, and sure enough, they were right. My surgeon was right. My wife was right. I was wrong. I needed help. And I didn't realize, I thought it was just another hernia that I tore my groin. And I just was like, I'm a wimp and I can't take the pain, but I'm like, I can do this. I can get through this. And I couldn't. And once I went, and they told me what I had, I was like, you know, holy shack, that's kind of a problem. I have no idea on the face of the earth how I got it. They actually, two of the reasons you can get it, believe it or not, is sitting all day or something, like you strangle off your onions or something because you're always sitting, or the other one was overexertion. In other words, I play basketball 7 days a week. I play, you know, Wednesdays, Saturdays, Sundays. I play, you know, upwards of 5-6 hours of really intense, aggressive, up and down basketball with violence and jumping and pounding. And you know, when I get done playing, sometimes my hernias hurt and my groin hurts. And so I just thought that's what it was, but it wasn't. It was this devastating infection. And the next thing you know, I'm in there and they're telling me I got this nasty. I couldn't believe, like when I heard E. coli in my satchel, I was like,
I know.
What are you talking about? I've never heard of that.
Can it come back? Can it come back? Or are you done?
I don't know. And I don't think that it can come back like right now, but it's,
well, but
it's,
if two
pain,
of the reasons
the pain's
you
gone,
can get it, are if two of the reasons you can get it are one, you have too much exercise, and the other, you have no exercise. I don't know what you could do. I mean, just pray it doesn't come back, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
I'm a doctor,
I just,
and I say,
you know, just,
exercise, but don't exercise. I mean, really.
You know, I'm lucky that I have a great surgeon that has operated on me a bunch of times, and I'm grateful that my wife convinced me to go because I'm stubborn. Like I'm like, I'm not going. I'm just, leave me alone. I'm on the couch. Leave me alone. I'm fine. I can take it. I've had so many surgeries, Rick, and I've had so much pain. I've broken every bone in my body. I have had 4 ass surgeries. When you have 4 fistula surgeries, you'll find out how much of a man you are when you have a, like, Satan hellfire in your bum. You find out real quick how tough you are when your tuchus has got, like, Satan fire hell in it. Just,
you had one when I was visiting you during Howard Stern, and it wasn't pleasant to see you.
It was not pleasant. So those will make a man out of you. But I got to tell you, this one, I think this one may have topped the cake for pain. I've never had pain like that before, where I literally, every step I took, my wife said I looked like I was walking around with a baseball bat shoved in my tuchus. Because I had to walk with my legs completely separated because my onions were the size of grapefruit and they were smacking against each other in the swollen satchel page. And it was just the worst 5 days of my life. And now that my onions are back to normal, it's just the greatest relief ever. I sing praise to heaven above. It's a great day. We'll come back and do 5 and 5 with Rick Caro in our sports business report. Finally, we'll get to the business at hand.
When it comes to getting trusted sports gaming strategies and info,
you can ask your dumb friend Kevin.
Duh! Or you can just listen to us. We recommend us.
And we won't ask to borrow your car either.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
So I'm watching the LA Kings and playing the Avs, and I saw Quinton Byfield, a number two pick in the 20 draft. He's just phenomenal. He's got it all: size, speed, skill, hands. He broke his ankle, and this is his first real. He's back on the ice, and he's playing again. And he almost scored his first NHL goal on a beautiful sweep in from the right circle along the boards, and in front. He whipped it back to his backhand and tried to flip it up over the goalie, but the goalie made the save. Incredible speed and move. You could just see his talent. The Avs just scored 2-0 Colorado. They scored on quick to make it 2-0. But this kid, Quinton Byfield, is going to be a player for the LA Kings. I'll tell you that much. You can see it. He's all over the ice.
By the way, before we start, and speaking about LA events, you know, when we get to LA and everything is packed in the middle of LA Live and the Radio Rose and the Convention Center and the old Staples Center, now Crypto.com Arena is where I'm going to do all my interviews. The AEG folks are gracious enough to give us a conference room to have all the people who are coming in for interviews. But Tuesday night of that week, the Lakers are playing the Bucks, man. So I don't know what we're doing. You got a show. Oh, well, but you know what? The show's over early for you, so let's figure out whether you want to do the Lakers-Bucks that night. We'll be right there. So that would be kind of a cool game.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great. So what I do at 10 to midnight, so, but it's 7 to 9, I'd be on the air out there. And the game's at 7, right? You'd have a nice time at that. You'll have a nice time at the game, Rick. It sounds like a great time that I won't be able to go to because I'll be doing a show. But
yeah, here's what I'll do. I'll text you the score so you don't miss it. How's that?
Yeah, text me the score. Maybe give me a program. You'll have a good time.
I'll get your program.
Anyway,
I'll sneak up here into Radio Row. How's that? That's good.
There you go.
Okay.
I don't drink. Anyway,
You don't drink.
The baseball talks. I got enough problems, let alone drinking. Do you have any information at all about the problems between baseball and the union, and where are they after they met last week? And I heard absolutely nothing was accomplished.
Well, let me give you a roundabout issue that was very important today in Tampa. I don't know if you saw it, but the Tampa Bay Rays and Stu Sternberg have been hawking an idea of a sister city plan where they would play half the games in Tampa and half in Montreal.
Right.
And a lot of opposition, but it was formally killed today by the executive committee of Major League Baseball, which puts the town in a tizzy. Everybody is saying, what are they going to do? They've still got 5 years on their lease, but now we've got Tampa Stadium and St. Pete opportunities. But the executive committee did it unexpectedly this week, and everybody is speculating that they want to, clear the path of all kind of distractions because they want to get down to it and make sure that all of the issues get resolved pretty quick between players and owners. It's not an automatic guarantee, but, listen, you got the equalization tax, or the luxury tax. You've got a free agency after a certain age. You know, those are the two big issues. And then the minimum salary, it's important, but it doesn't. None of this stuff are deal killers, in my estimation. So they just got to sit down, lock themselves in a room, and get it done for 2 days. Now, the real question is, are they using the beginning of spring training as the deadline or the beginning of the regular season? Now, for those of us in Florida and Arizona who depend on spring training, that's a big difference.
So, I hear that from my sources that baseball will they're going to lose spring training. They're going to have a very short, if any, spring training, and that their goal is to play 162 games, and then nothing else is a given. It is just, it's a mess right now. Nobody wants to admit that, but that's exactly what it is. Let me ask you this question. Do you think, because Tampa said they were going to explore other avenues in Tampa, and the only other baseball stadium at all, in my opinion, in Tampa that they could play games in is the Yankees Legends Field? Are the Tampa Rays considering trying to cut a deal with the Yankees to let them use their baseball stadium for their regular season games? Where the hell else are they going to play in Tampa?
Well, they've got to find another site, and they've got 5 years to do it, so it's not the end of the world under the current lease. The real shenanigans were that the St. Pete people weren't going to let the Rays look anywhere else during the term of the lease other than the St. Pete County Pinellas, and that's kind of off the beaten track for some people. So there is a town, you've been there before, or kind of a tourist attraction called Ybor City, you know, to the east of Tampa.
Yeah.
And the rail line comes in there, and the hospitals are there, and it's only about Tampa exploring that. And there is enough time to put that together. So that may emerge. Yankee Stadium is, you know, near Raymond James. I'll be there on Sunday. It's a great area because people are used to going, but it's too small. And if you try to expand it, they've got some problems with parking and otherwise. But, you know, never say never. They could use part of the infrastructure and they can build around it. So they have enough time. It's just that they weren't focused on it because they were going to do half of Montreal and now baseball shut it down.
Well, why can't they just play where they're playing now in that dump?
Well, that's why. I mean, they can do it till the end of the lease. But then, you know, listen, they, and it's partially the community, it's partially the marketing, it's partially the location of that stadium. You've been there. I mean, it's close to the Sarasota-Bradenton part. But if you're in downtown Tampa, you know how long it takes to get from downtown Tampa across the bridges all the way south and all the way to that stadium. It's a 45-minute, hour-long trek. So it's location, and it is a dump in the sense that it's – you remember it was built – at the same time the Marlins got their expansion deal, and the difference was the baseball people told the people in Tampa and St. Pete, you know, let the expansion team decide whether you want to put a roof on it or not, and they said, no, 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 we're going to do it, and we're going to put a cement roof on it. It feels like a mausoleum in there. You know, you've been there.
I mean, it really does. It's bad, but boy, that really sounds like a mess to me. Like,
well,
I don't even know what to say. It's
a mess. But the good thing about it is you got time to focus on the mess. And any stadium that I've ever done gets done only when it becomes a mess. It's like, you know, hitting rock bottom. And when you hit rock bottom, then everybody says, we're going to lose them.
Meanwhile, they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. You know, they've done more with so little, more than probably anybody else has. And some people say, you don't need public money because the team's gone to so many series. I don't buy that argument. It doesn't, you know, work because that doesn't mean they're going to be doing it forever. And you do need something that's comfortable for the fans. And I think right now, after the pandemic, and they're looking for infrastructure money, and this becomes jobs and economic impact, it could be a perfect storm. This could be the right opportunity to do it. You know, check in with me on a regular basis because I kind of know that deal pretty well. So we'll see what happens.
All right, so let's do some top tech. How about this? Netflix is planning a documentary on the PGA Tour.
Well, and remember the Drive to Survive? That was a cool series for Formula One. And now there's a similar deal with the 30 for 30 guys, and they're starting it with the Australian Open for tennis majors. And they're doing the same thing now with golf majors in the PGA Tour. So all the guys around me, the buddies in the neighborhood, you know, the Dustin Johnsons and Justin Thomases right. and Ricky Fowlers, everybody's going to be followed around at majors and during the year, on-field, on-course stuff, off-course stuff, and people are going to kind of get into the lives of a professional golfer. I think it's going to be fun to film and fun to watch.
I won't be surprised if you're on that show. Fubo TV has the rights in Canada for the Premier League. That's a nice deal for them.
Yeah, and Fubo is, you know, getting big in places where you didn't expect them to be. So they will include the streaming rights in the U.S. for certain things, like the Qatar World Cup and certain other things as well. And they have Serie A and Coppa Italia. They're trying to pick off stuff that other people clearly don't have. And all 380 EPL matches in Canada is a good start.
By the way, Netflix also doing a tennis-based docuseries as well, following tennis players. They're doing both the golf and the tennis.
Yeah, and they're both going to be really good, especially with all the drama in tennis right now. Maybe they'll catch Djokovic getting on a plane and flying back to Serbia.
I heard that he owns like a big piece of a company trying to come up with something other than the vaccine for COVID. Is that true?
Yes. Well, the published reports, and I saw them this morning, and I'm getting the kind of financial statement of the company. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not quite sure how real it is. But he bought an 80% stake in a company that's offering an alternate treatment. And it would be ironic if the guy says, look, this is what I'm using, and this is real, and you shouldn't have kicked me out of the country. But regardless of that, he's taking a real PR hit.
He might, you know, in my view, he might never go back to the Australian Open because of the way he was treated by that country, even though I think they did the right thing. But I guarantee you he's not happy with Australia. Shaq sold his stake in the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, and he did it because, you know, the NBA made him do it because, you know, he's coming out with a new deal with WynnBET, and I can't wait to see the commercials. He's the face of the new Shaqpot free-to-play prediction game sponsored by the sports book WynnBET. And so in order for him to do that, make boatloads of money, he needed to sell his Kings stake. And I don't know how much it was, but he bought it in 2013, so I'm sure he made a lot of money on that deal.
Who's the new Timberwolves Lynx CEO?
Yeah, well, and this is a CEO of a different kind. This is a chief experience officer. It's the first ever, and the teams said the experience was in this person's title, Marquise Watts, emphasizing the player experience to help Minnesota attract basketball talent. So he's like a kind of a free agent attractor. Watts was recently president of the brand strategy component for the Clutch Sports Group, which includes a lot of the players, co-founded by LeBron James. So you got a team hiring a guy whose role is to lure free agents. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's cool. How about the Texas Tech player that got an NIL deal in the middle of a game?
Adonis Arms. That's the funniest story I had all week. So the Raiders were on their way to an easy victory against Oklahoma State when Raising Cane's posted on Twitter telling Arms to check his DMs. And chicken fingers, check your DMs. The guy raised his hand in the air. All of a sudden, the guy's got a deal, and an NIL deal that's pretty significant, patterned after another Texas Tech guy, but none of them happened during the game. This one did. It's amazing.
Wow, that is. All right, so let me ask you. You're going to the Tampa Bay game on Sunday. We were talking extensively today on Coast to Coast that the Rams can beat them.
Yeah, and I don't think they will, but I think they definitely can. And I think a lot of people are scared about it because, you know, people are now getting in the habit that Brady is invincible, especially at home. Well, he's not. And, you know, there were a lot of quarterbacks last week, as you know, the bright lights scalded them, like Mac Jones and like Kyler Murray. By the way, wasn't that the worst pass in the history of football, the Kyler Murray touchdown interception? What was that?
Yes,
you see,
I think it was. I think it really was the worst. Rick, great stuff. I'll see you next week on Coast to Coast and on a Bench. With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
So I'm looking at the game. The Kings, Kopitar scored, and it's 2-1. The Avs are on top of the LA Kings in Lipstick City, and it's a pretty good game. But I was looking at Dustin Brown. You know, man, does that guy's face tell the story? Let alone Doughty. You look at either one of them, Mafia. I mean, they've been in the league, you know, let's say 10 years, maybe, and they've, you know, they got their hands on a couple, you know, Stanley Cups. they were they had a little dynasty going there in L.A. And if you look at those two guys, I mean, when they came into the league and when they started playing with the L.A. Kings and where they are today, they're still on the Kings. I mean, those two guys look like they're 100 years old. I mean, it is the most unbelievable thing what hockey does to your face and body. Those two guys look so old. They look older than me. I mean, Dustin Brown looks like he's 70 and he's playing in the NHL. He's been in the league. I could be wrong, but I'm guessing 10 years. I mean, a guy looks like he's 70 years old. He has no teeth. All his hair is gone. He's got scars all over his face. I mean, the guy looks like he went to Vietnam 15 times. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, especially when you guys like that. You know, it's one thing to be in the league a long time, but when you are guys, you know, who aren't afraid to mix up like those two, you know, that it definitely adds a couple of years every time you drop the gloves with someone or take a big hit to the boards.
I mean, to tell you, I couldn't even recognize him. I'm like, that's Dustin Brown? Oh, my God. I go, bro, you got your AARP card? I know I have mine. It's embarrassing. All my failing health. Mafia's like, it's all catching up to you, Pharrell. It's Pharrell on a bench.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.